Amen. And we just celebrated the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the cross is central to, it's the central event to all of history. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he gave up his life, the work of redemption was complete. It was fully paid. Salvation had been purchased through the blood. And my friends, death did not get the final word. The resurrection is God's declaration that the cross is enough. And so on that Easter morning, the grave couldn't hold him in. Death could not contain him. And in victory, Jesus rose. And because he rose, we have more than forgiveness. We have new life. Because he lives, we can live. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 declares with triumph, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I want to take us to John chapter 20, because the resurrection is not done. Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive. And so earlier on in John chapter 20, it's the same day of the resurrection, that morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone rolled away. She ran to tell Peter and John. They found the tomb was empty, just as Jesus promised it would be. But Mary stood behind there weeping. They didn't know what happened to Jesus' body. And in one of the most personal moments in Scripture, the risen Jesus appeared to her. At first, she didn't recognize him, but then he calls her by name, Mary. And everything changed for her, because the risen Savior is alive. And so by the time we move forward to verse 19, we see that the disciples, they're not celebrating. We celebrate Easter, but they're not celebrating. They're hiding. The cross was fresh in their minds. Jesus was crucified. The religious leaders were hostile. They thought somebody stole the tomb. They were saying that the disciples stole them. And so one thing that's awesome about this is Jesus told them, stay together. And they did. They were together. But they were in fear. They were afraid. They were behind locked doors. I can imagine them locking the door, double locking it, putting a bar around it. They were uncertain. They were afraid. They didn't know what was coming next. And it's right there, in that moment of fear and confusion and uncertainty, that the risen Jesus stepped right into that room. He didn't step into that room with condemnation. He didn't have questions for them, but with one powerful declaration. He said, "Peace be with you." So let's stand as we read God's word this morning. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And he spoke. He showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy. They saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven." This takes place the evening of Resurrection Sunday. You can have a seat. Sorry. I'm looking up. What are you guys still standing for? But I want to tell you that Easter is not the end. It's the beginning. Jesus appeared to his disciples. They're in fear, they're uncertain, but he brings them peace and he brings them purpose. And so the first thing we see is the power of peace. The power of peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that only Jesus can give. It says that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. They were frightened. They thought they were next. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. The religious leaders, they were angry. The tomb was empty. If you remember, they orchestrated and crucified Jesus. The religious leaders and the Romans knew who the disciples were. And so the disciples were scared. They locked themselves in a room in Jerusalem because they were fearful that they were going to be next. They didn't know what was going to happen. Even though Mary and some of the other women and Peter have seen the risen Jesus earlier, they were still afraid. They were paralyzed by fear. Don't we get like that sometimes? We have fear. We know what that fear feels like. We get so afraid of things. We get so anxious about things. But Jesus. The text says that even with the doors barricaded, Jesus appeared in their midst. And he said, "Peace be with you." How comforting is that? That Jesus speaks that to us today. Peace be with you. I always think about different things all the time when I'm reading the text of Scripture. I love putting myself in there. And all of a sudden I start thinking, well, you know, Jesus appeared to them. He stepped into that room with them. He didn't pick the lock. He didn't knock at the door. He didn't find an open window and climb through it. He was there in the moment that they needed him most. He stepped into their midst, just like he steps into our midst, giving us peace. We see that Jesus gives them this peace in several other places because they needed that peace. They needed that reassurance, just like we do. In verse 21, he says, "Peace be with you." And then later on in verse 26, when Thomas came back after he said, "I'm not going to believe until I see him," he again said, "Peace be with you." Because true peace is a peace from God. That's how we can have true peace. There's no peace like the peace that comes from the risen Christ Jesus. There's no peace. We try to find peace in so many different places. We try to find it in other religions. We get so many self-help books. We try to go to people and they tell us our future and how we can find peace. But all of that is temporary. It fades away. There's only one peace that's eternal. And that is the peace that God gives to us. And it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that we can have that peace. And it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that we can have peace with God. We can have that peace with God. And we can also have the peace of God. We can have peace with God and peace of God. Because the price has been paid. Redemption is complete. Jesus said it is finished, and he meant it. So here is the resurrection and the life standing before him, them, just like he's always with us. He never leaves us. He'll never forsake us. We don't have to be afraid. And it's because of the cross that we can have peace with God. And when we trust him fully, we experience the peace of God. When Jesus appeared in that room, the one thing that I love about this is he didn't walk into that room, He didn't demand explanations. He didn't say, Peter, why did you deny me? He didn't look at the others and say, why did you guys run? Did you not hear anything I taught you for the last 3 years? I told you I was going to rise from the dead. He didn't ask for explanations. He didn't ask what happened. No, the first words out of the risen Christ was, peace be with you. Peace be with you. How comforting is that? That when we fail, he says, peace be with you. When we're afraid, he says, peace be with you. When we try to run from him, he says, peace be with you. Because Jesus is right there saying, peace be with you. He's saying, peace, shalom. You are now safe. You're complete. You're made whole. You can rest in me. You can have life in me. Because in Christ, we can have both peace with God and the peace of God. The other thing that we can notice here is that the peace that Jesus is giving, it doesn't mean the absence of trouble or conflict. It doesn't change the circumstances they're in. The door is still locked. The religious leaders are still angry. But the peace that Jesus gives is higher and greater than the fear or circumstances that they're in. Because it's even in our trials and our circumstances, even in the chaos, even in the storms, we can have that peace that only comes from Jesus. We can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And while we're doing that, we can point others to Jesus so they can experience that same peace that we have. Through Christ, our relationship is restored. Peace is now available because of what Jesus has finished. John 16:33, it says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Then Jesus says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. He's saying, here on earth you will have trials. You will have suffering. But I am so glad that Jesus didn't leave us at that. Because read what it says here. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. And in him we can have peace, because Jesus is our peace. It is the perfect peace that he gives to us. As Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. When I was reading that, it says, it's shalom, shalom, double peace. How many need double peace today? Let's keep our mind fixed on Jesus. If you think about sitting in a waiting room and just waiting on test results. I always hate going to the doctor. I go once a year now. Because he told me to. But how many times do you sit in a doctor's office waiting on test results? Your mind is racing. Worst case scenarios start coming. Anxiety starts to build. Then the doctor walks in and says, everything came back clear. The room didn't change. The chair didn't change. The situation around you didn't change. But your heart did. You have that peace. Secondly, we see in this verse the power of presence. The power of presence. It's the presence of the risen Christ that brought the disciples from fear to peace. He brought them from fear to peace by his presence, by him being there physically. It says, suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Jesus stepped into that locked room. He not only offered them peace, but he revealed his presence to them. He showed them his hands. He showed them his sides. Luke tells us that he showed them his feet. And here Jesus came giving them the best news ever, and they were scared. But he was demonstrating to them, look, it's really me. It's me. I'm physically here with you. This is the same Jesus that they walked with for 3 years, the same Jesus they laughed with, the same Jesus they cried with, the same Jesus that taught them, the same Jesus that was crucified, is now the same Jesus who is alive. He said, look, it's really me. Look at my hands. Look at my side. It's me. Jesus physically rose from the dead. He was right there in front of them, standing there. They could touch him. Luke also records that Jesus appeared to them, and he said that they were terrified. He said that they were even terrified enough that they thought that he was a ghost. Jesus said, why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me. Make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do. He is showing them that it is really him, that he is there. And I love what Luke writes next. He said, still they stood there in disbelief, but they were filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. It wasn't fried chicken. It was broiled fish. He's saying, not only can you touch me to see that I'm physically here, but look, I can eat too. Again, my mind starts to wander. I start thinking that maybe he's sitting there and he's eating, and maybe they're just like, did you see that? He's eating. I don't know. That's not, anybody else think like that? They watched him intently as he ate right in front of them. Why? Because he wanted there to be no doubt in their minds that he is alive, physically risen from the dead. He's not a ghost. He's our living, risen Savior. I love what Paul writes in Philippians 3:21. He will take our weak mortal bodies. Yes, that's what we have, weak mortal bodies. But he will change them into glorious bodies like his own. That means the same Jesus who rose from the dead is a pattern for us that one day he promises that we will be raised and made new. And what a glorious day that'll be. I tried to ask a couple of my kids what I preached about last month, and does anybody remember? I can hardly remember. Last month, my message was on Isaiah 41:10. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. My friends, Isaiah gives us this promise, and in John 20, it shows the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. What God promised, Jesus now fulfills. That he is always with us. That he is the one, because he is our God. He is the one who will strengthen us. He is the one who will help us. And he is the one who will hold us up with his victorious right hand. Amen? When they realized it was him, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, it says. They knew it was him. They were filled with joy. Jesus wanted there to be no doubt that it was him, that he was really alive. And that's why the Bible records multiple appearances of Jesus after his resurrection, including 500 witnesses at one time. This assures us that Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and he physically rose from the dead. When I think about this, the overwhelming evidence that we have, I always think about police officers, and they're trained to evaluate evidence. And one of the strongest forms of evidence is eyewitness accounts, eyewitness testimonies. And so if you have one person testifying, that matters. But if you have several agreeing, it gets stronger. But if hundreds of people confirm the same event, that's overwhelming evidence. And that's exactly what we have here with the resurrection of Jesus. Paul records that he appeared to more than 500 people at one time. This is eyewitness reality. And family, the same Jesus they saw is the same Jesus who steps into our lives today, no matter what you're going through, and says, "Peace be with you." Because the resurrection confirms that Jesus is trustworthy. It's the central message of the early church, and it guarantees our resurrection. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith and our hope. And Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live also." And all God's promises in Christ are yes and amen. This isn't blind faith. This is our risen Savior. The third thing, we see the power of purpose. The power of purpose. The power of peace, the power of presence, the power of purpose. The purpose of the risen Christ brought the disciples from hiding to mission. From hiding to mission. They had a purpose, and now Jesus is sending them. In verse 21, he says, "Again he said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.'" Jesus said the Father gave him authority to send. And his disciples and us are under his authority on a mission to tell others about Jesus and the forgiveness and salvation that we have in him. It's not about us. It's not about our ministry. It's not about how wonderful we do. It's about Jesus. We point others to Jesus. It's why Jesus prayed in John 17, 18, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." We are called to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus, his death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection, and the forgiveness that we have in him. That means it's not just their mission. It's our mission too. We are sent. We're sent to our workplaces. We're sent to our schools. We're sent to our families, to our neighborhoods, to our communities, to tell others about Jesus. This is a privilege that we have as Christ's ambassadors, entrusted with the gospel. We as followers of Jesus have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we must take the message of our King, Jesus, to all the ends of the earth. God never calls us to a mission without equipping us by his Spirit. Verse 22, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Spirit. In this moment, Jesus gives life, commissioning his disciples, and he points them forward to something that's going to be so miraculous in Acts chapter 2. If you go back to the beginning, when God created man, he formed Adam in the dust of the ground. Genesis 2:7 says, then God breathed into him, and he became a living being. Now the disciples are in this room, afraid and uncertain, and then Jesus steps in. He gives them peace. He sends them out. This is resurrection life. This is God, not just with them, but sending them. What sin broke in the garden, Jesus has restored through his cross and resurrection. And here he commissions them to announce it. This is just the beginning. And soon in Acts 2, the same Spirit will come upon them with power and witness as they proclaim the gospel message. And the fourth thing that we see is the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. I was talking to Pastor Corey when I was explaining to him, or I was telling him my message. He said, there's something wrong with that. I said, well, we have the power of peace. We have the power of presence. We have the power of purpose. And then I said, we have the power of forgiveness. P-P-P-F. I want to stay on task. So I spelled it forgiveness. But please, in your outlines, write it correctly. I want people to think that people of Woodland Church are highly educated. Unlike me. It's the power of forgiveness with an F. The forgiveness of the risen Christ is offered to all who put their trust in him. It's offered to all who put their trust in him. John 20:23 says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus is sending us, and we are to go with a message. It's our mission, our message here at Woodland Church, that Christ died, he rose again, and through his death and resurrection, God has made a way for your sins to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. We don't have the power to forgive sins. Only God does. But the good news is, anyone can come to him and receive that forgiveness. No matter what you've done, no matter how long you've been caught up in sin, he forgives you. He offers forgiveness to all who receive him. You can't out-sin God's grace, and in Christ we are made his righteousness. I love 1 John 1:9. Because it's not about me. It's about him and what he's done. It says, if we confess our sins to him, he is the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. He is the one that can cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. When we acknowledge our sin, when we confess it to him and place our faith in Jesus and his finished work at the cross, we are forgiven. And based on the authority of God's word, we as passionate followers of Christ have the privilege of telling others that through Christ their sins can be forgiven. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. I love the picture in Revelation 19, the armies of heaven dressed in the finest of pure white linen. They followed him on white horse. Psalm 103:12 says, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Think about that. He has thrown our sins as far as the east is to the west. Only Jesus can take what is stained by sin and make it completely clean, giving us not only forgiveness, but a brand new life in him. Pastor Mark read Colossians 2, and I'll read it again. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. But Scripture is also clear. If we refuse to repent, refuse to believe the gospel message, and we harden our heart, we remain in our sin. And so Jesus has entrusted us with his message. If you accept Christ and you come to him asking him for forgiveness, you are forgiven. But if you don't, you will remain in your sin. That's a horrible place to remain. This is the message that was established at the cross that we carry to the world. You can have a new start. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done. When we're in Christ, we are new creations in him. And right now, each and every one of you here and online can have that peace right now. Don't let fear or sin hold you back. Come to him today so that everything can be made new. Because the same Jesus who walked into that locked room with his disciples is the same Jesus that is with us this morning, offering peace, new life, and forgiveness. The question is, will you receive him? I wrote a couple things down for our growth work. And the first thing is, receive his peace. Receive his peace. That's faith in Christ. Because Jesus is alive, we no longer live under fear or condemnation. Remember the first words from the risen Christ to his disciples, "Peace be with you." As believers, we are called to rest in that peace. The peace with God through salvation in Jesus Christ. And then we're to continually walk in that peace in our daily life. The second is walk in his presence. Walk in his presence. Life in the Holy Spirit. If you notice, Jesus didn't leave his disciples alone. He stood right there in their midst. And today, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ is with us. God is with us. If you remember, around Christmas time, we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. Not only do we have his peace, but we have his presence. We grow by living awareness of his presence, walking in fellowship with one another, being obedient to God's word. The third thing, proclaim the message of forgiveness. That's the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Jesus entrusted them and us with the message of forgiveness. I can't save you. We don't save us. But Jesus can. And we proclaim that saving work of the cross. And through his resurrection, we can be set free. I love that they sang Amazing Grace, because God's grace is amazing. It's the greatest news ever that we can be set free. Then they sang, I speak Jesus, the most powerful name in the world, the name that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We call people to repentance and faith in Jesus because he is the one who alone forgives sins, restores lives, and reconciles us to God. We're here on this first Sunday after Resurrection 2026, and we read about the disciples being afraid. They're hiding. They're uncertain. But then we see that Jesus just stepped right in there, right in their midst. He gave them peace for their hearts, presence for their lives, and a mission of forgiveness to the world. And he offers that same thing to each and every one of you here today and online. My friends, you don't have to live behind locked doors anymore. God has made a way for you to have forgiveness and peace in your life. He says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Through Christ, your sins can be dismissed. And as Christ said on the cross, it is finished. He didn't say it's mostly finished or hang on, I'm almost done. He said it is finished, and he meant it. It's paid in full. You right now can be set free. Because the word of God says if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. This is the gospel. This is the good news. That though we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God did not leave us in our sin. He made a way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived the sinless life that we couldn't live. He died on the cross for our sins. He took our place, paying our debt. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the grave, defeating the enemy, defeating sin, defeating death. And because he lives, we have forgiveness in him. We have new life. We have a restored relationship with God to all who believe. This isn't something that we can earn. It's not something we work for. It's the gift of God's grace received by faith in him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So today, if you're here, if you're online, and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, this is your moment. You don't have to stand behind locked doors of fear and guilt or sin. The risen Jesus is standing before you, saying, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Will you trust him today? Will you call on him today? Turn from your sin. Put your faith in Jesus and be forgiven. Be made new. And for those of us who believe, my friends, he gave us a mission. We live in a fallen world. There's so many people without hope, without peace. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We're sent with this gospel to our families, our workplaces, our communities, to the ends of the earth. The world is filled with people still living behind locked doors, fear, sin, hopelessness. And we carry the message that can set them free. God can change your heart. God can give you new life. So today, if you don't know him, I ask you to come to him because the same Jesus who was there with them is with us today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus is alive, and that because of his death and resurrection, we can have peace with you. Lord, I pray for every heart here today and online. You see every person, you see every burden, you see every fear, every need. And I just ask that your peace would fill this room even now, Lord. Father, I pray for those who may not know you, those who have never truly trusted in Jesus as their Savior. I pray for them right now, Lord God. And if that's you today, I just ask you to pray silently with me. God, I come to you today. I know that I have sinned. I cannot save myself. But I believe Jesus is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe he rose from the dead. And so today I turn from my sin. And as much as I know how, I put my trust in him. Forgive me. Cleanse me, make me new. I receive your grace and your forgiveness. Give me new life in Jesus' name. And Father, for those who trust in you, and for those who just prayed that prayer, Lord, I thank you that according to your word, they are forgiven. They are made new, and they now belong to you. I just pray that you help them to continue to walk in your peace and in the new life that you give to them. And Lord, for those of us who know you, I pray that you strengthen us. Help us to continue to walk in your peace, to live in your presence, and to boldly take your message of forgiveness to the world around us. I pray you empower us by your Spirit to be your witnesses in our homes, in our workplaces, wherever you send us. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times, in every situation. And the Lord be with you all. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to come and pray with me. I'd love to pray with you. Or any of the pastors here. We have a gift for you back there. I'm so thankful for all of you. And I continue to pray for each and every one of you every single day. And thank you all. You all have a great day and a great week. Amen.